Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and thank you so much for joining me today. Representative Nancy Mace is going to run for governor of South Carolina in 2026. It's going to be a very crowded field. Why are you shaking your head? You're not a fan.
I think she...
I'm not a fan of hers either.
She overestimates her
popularity.
Star power.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree. Like, every once in a while, she'll say something during a hearing that I like and that I'll play on the show. And there's a few people like that. But in general, there's a lot of things she does that I don't understand.
She's popular for the same reasons that Sydney Sweeney is popular.
She's an actress. I didn't know this about Nancy Mace.
Sure. Well, she's not bad on the eyes.
Yeah, she's a good-looking woman.
I would say Sydney Sweeney is more popular.
I don't want to get into that, Taylor. Okay, this is a conversation that you can have in the green room. But all I'm saying is I don't really know how this is going to work out. And, you know, the other big announcement we had was Mike Watley. And there was a lot of pushback against Mike Watley. And kind of when you look at it, it's probably because each of them have something the other doesn't. Like, I like Mike Watley, who was running the RNC during the last campaign, during the last election, because he's a little bit bland. He's a little bit numbers and facts and figures and kind of, you know, just down the middle. Not down the middle politically, but I just mean there's nothing really sexy about him. And I like that. I like that he gets the job done. I like that he had success in the last election. And we would have him on the show all the time, and I would say, well, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? Ballot harvesting, this and that. He always had an answer. And guess what? He came through. Like, if Trump had lost that last election, I would say, get this guy the bleep out of here. I don't want to hear from him again.
Yeah, he wasn't giving you sound bites. He wasn't just you know. He
wasn't a bomb tosser for the sake of it.
He wasn't walking into convenience stores at midnight in pajamas. That's something Nancy Mace has done. You haven't seen those videos?
No. Do I even want to know what this is?
Like, she puts these
out. I feel
out.
Like the people during Woker joke.
No, she puts these out on her own account, and she thinks she's, like, dunking on Democrats or something.
Well, what is going in Cookie Monster PJs have to do with dunking?
I've never watched them with a sound. No.
If going into convenience stores in your PJs is some sort of own, then guess what? Your girl is owning the libs all the time. I'm confused what that has to do with anything. But my point is, I like Mike Watley for all the reasons people don't like Mike Watley. Like, people are like, no one knows his name. No one knows what he's done. Well, he was successful. Trump was successful. He was a big part of it. I'm not keen on Nancy Mace for the reasons why I think she gets a lot of support, which is she's a bit of a show woman, and it's a lot about going viral and this kind of stuff. I could change my mind. I'd reserve the right to change my mind. She certainly wouldn't be the worst, but like I said, it's a crowded field, so we'll have to see. I wanted to play a little bit of sound here from, and when you know about these PJs, tell me, because you can't float something out like that and then not give us any context.
She literally went to a Wawa's and, like, recorded a video with her dog, and she was she was in pajamas.
Okay.
Just picking up Red Bulls. There's no context. She said if DC had a theme song and it was AC/DC, but there's no context other than that.
Oh, okay. Okay,
so that's your senator.
Never mind. I think she should be governor.
they deserve it. New York deserves Mamdani. South Carolina deserves Nancy Mace.
I've totally changed my mind on this. I'm team Nancy Mace now that I know she's getting Red Bulls in her PJs. I wanted to play a back and forth here between Lee Zeldin and Casey Hunt. Now, Casey Hunt is an anchor at CNN. She's terrible. She was the one who was giggling when Rand Paul had his lung busted in and was beat up by his neighbor for political reasons. She thought that was really funny. It was her favorite story of the day. And she's always trying to best these Republican guests she has on and to kind of have like a gotcha moment with them. And this latest moment didn't work out for her because she was going up against Lee Zeldin. And I always have this rule, like, you can go on CNN. If you're part of the administration, you want to go on CNN, that's fine. But you have to be able to go in guns a-blazing, and you have to be able to win and expose the kind of agitprop that they're pushing. Now, there are a few people who can do it. Lee Zeldin just made the list. I would say Marco Rubio can do it. He's done it several times with Margaret Brennan. J.D. Vance is an expert at it. Caroline Leavitt, she's so good she got kicked off of CNN at one point because she was just spewing too many facts for them to handle. And Lee Zeldin was asked if he accepts, and this is always so funny, do you accept the overwhelming scientific consensus that greenhouse gas emissions drive man-made climate change? Now, right there, it's a false premise. Right there, there's plenty of reason to fact check that or to push back on the overwhelming scientific. You know what else we had an overwhelming scientific consensus about, Taylor? COVID starting in a wet market from a bat. We had overwhelming. You know what else we had overwhelming consensus? Let's talk about overwhelming consensus. Okay, we had overwhelming consensus that Joe Biden was the smartest man who ever walked the face of the planet.
Think about what you'd think about.
That he was solving equations on the chalkboards of the White House. He was, you know, he was restoring decency and integrity and, you know, pride and respect in the United States of America. There was overwhelming consensus of that. There was overwhelming consensus that the 2020 election was fair and free and not rigged. There was overwhelming consensus.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
There was overwhelming consensus just recently, just up until a few weeks ago, that Trump colluded with Vladimir Putin to win the 2016 election. There was overwhelming consensus about that until there wasn't. See, there's all this overwhelming consensus until the receipts come through.
President colluded.
You give things a couple months, sometimes a couple years, and suddenly that consensus seems to splinter. People start to disagree. And it's the same
receipts,
reason.
Proof, timeline, screenshots.
Thank you, Bravo. It's the same reason why I was so caught up in that Larry Summers quote from that Taylor played for us earlier in the show, where he's so mad about Trump firing this BLS commissioner. Should be a BS commissioner, if you ask me. Whoa! Because she got the numbers wrong. It's like, your job is the numbers. I understand if her job was catering for the White House. And it's like, well, yeah, she got the job's numbers wrong. But really, her main gig is, you know, bringing in the tuna sandwiches for people. That's not what this is. Your job is the statistics. I know that they can be wrong. I've seen it before. But should they be this wrong? They're so wrong, Taylor, that you get to a point where you go, why do we even have them? Like, why do we have someone who's giving us these numbers? Because that's the excuse now. It's like, well, this is, we have hundreds of people working on this and there's manuals and everything. Okay, so maybe what seems like Larry Summers is suggesting is that it's not enough just to fire the BLS commissioner. Maybe we need to fire hundreds of these people who are coming up with these bogus numbers. Because otherwise, I don't understand why you're there. You seem like you could be part of the Doge cuts. If you get me a number that's off by 100,000... I'm not really that interested in getting more information from you. I don't think your information, your intel is all that solid. But then what Larry Summers says to George Stephanopoulos, he's like, it's inconceivable that Trump is suggesting she's politicizing this. It's inconceivable to suggest that she would be fudging these numbers or she'd be trying to, you know, she'd be, this is, we have guidelines and whatever. It's like, dude, where have you been the last 10 years? I got news for you. I can conceive of everything. I can believe. There's no level of corruption, Taylor. There's no level of deceit that I put past the swamp at this point. There was. At one point in my life, there were plenty of things where I would go, that seems kind of far-fetched. Now? knowing what we know about Brennan and Clapper and Fauci and Biden and Hunter and Donilon and Klain and Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice and all these people, you're going to come to me and you're going to say, that's just, now that is preposterous. They might rig an election. They might hide a vegetable in the White House for 4 years and try to convince you he's okay. They might lie about a virus that kills millions of people. They might try to frame a president for colluding with Vladimir Putin. But if you think that the BLS isn't above board, if you think the commissioner of the BLS is politically compromised, you got to be out of your damn mind. It's like, why is that the one? Why is that the line we can't cross? Where it's like, this, now this is really outrageous. But all of this stuff has an overwhelming consensus, including climate change. It's an overwhelming consensus that everything's going to melt until it's an overwhelming consensus that everything's going to freeze. And it all means the same thing. We're doomed. The planet is ending. I got to get the AOC clock behind me. But so Lee Zeldin's sitting there and he gets this false premise presented to him by Casey Hunt. Let's take a listen to Cut 7.
Do you accept the overwhelming scientific consensus that these greenhouse gas emissions are the biggest drivers of man-made climate change?
Well, it's great to be on with you. First, it's worth pointing out that all eight or so images that you just posted on the screen have nothing to do with this week's announcement. What was the 2009 endangerment finding had to do with was with regards to mobile sources, vehicles. This week's proposal to rescind the 2009 endangerment finding was with regards to mobile sources, vehicles. CNN's been using a lot of photos where they show smokestacks of stationary sources like power plants. That's not what we propose.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to spin a false narrative. Hey, Casey Hunt, you leave that to the New York Times. Okay, when it comes to presenting, or even Time Magazine, when it comes to presenting photos and pretending they have to, they are crucial to your storyline, like your narrative, and misrepresenting those photos, that's a job best left to the New York Times. I think that's a little above your capabilities, especially when you have Lee Zeldin in the seat. But I love that. I love when they do stuff like this. The overwhelming consensus. Tell me more about this overwhelming consensus. Give me some citations of these scientists. Oh, the inventor of the internet, Al Gore, whisper in Casey Hunt's ear. This is the overwhelming consensus, is that this is what's happening. I've actually heard from a lot of scientists that don't buy into that, that don't go along with this overwhelming consensus.
Well, there used to be an overwhelming consensus by scientists that the sun revolved around the earth. Way back when.
Yeah, and Casey Hunt would say, yeah, and they were on the money. They were on the money. But it's funny, too, because it's like anything to do with global warming. It's, again, it's like the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Don't question it. Why? You've been wrong. All your predictions have been wrong. All your numbers have been wrong. I think if anything, someone would be a moron to not question it, to not question it to the nth degree. But that's just the way I see it. Are you sending a son or a daughter off to college this year? Well, think of sending them off with an American-made Western razor. There's overwhelming consensus that you want a good razor in your life. You can take it from me. It makes a big difference. You might not think it does, but sometimes changing what seems like a relatively small part of your day-to-day routine, Taylor, it can actually improve your overall life because you're, for some guys, you're using it every single day. So it's like when you really add it up, you want to have a good one if you're going to use it every day.
Oh, exactly. And you want to have one that's not going to cost you a lot of money in the long run, especially if you're using it for day-to-day shaving and you want to have a clean look every single day and you're going through blades like a madman. You want to have something that's going to be, you know, full of quality and you can put your trust in it and it's not going to kill your wallet. And that is the Western Razor. The razor itself, the handle, it's all industrial grade, American made steel. It's awesome. Very, very, I mean, there are no moving parts really, but you can disassemble it and clean it and put in the replacement razor blade. And it's going to cost you pennies on the dollar for that replacement compared to these other big name competitors. The Western Razor is the only way to go. You'll never, ever go back. I've never looked back since I got my Western Razor.
And if you never want to look back, go to westernrazor.com and put in code GRACE to save 10%. Again, that's westernrazor.com. Put in code GRACE to save 10%. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Now, going back to 2009, the science that they were reviewing included both optimistic to pessimistic scenarios. To reach the 2009 endangerment finding, they relied on the most pessimistic views of the science. The great news is that a lot of the pessimistic views of the science in 2009 that was being assumed ended up not panning out. Hey, that's great. We can rely on 2025 facts as opposed to 2009 bad assumptions.
Yeah, but CNN would prefer to rely on 2009 bad assumptions. Just like AOC. Have we checked in on the AOC planet clock recently? Let me see. Planet clock countdown. I'm going to tell you guys, because I always think it's good just to let you know how much time we have left here. 1,630 days, 11 hours and 34 minutes. So by the time this segment's over, looking more like 30 minutes. So enjoy everyone, because AOC told us, and she's got the overwhelming consensus, that the planet has a fever and the planet's going to end. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly, so contact him at localsilvermint.com. By the way, that was Lee Zeldin demolishing Casey Hunt for her false question, or her false premise to a question, and her ridiculous attempt at a gotcha. He did a great job. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, do you think Trump made the right decision by firing the Bureau of Labor and Statistics commissioner?
Yes. Your job is statistics. Your job is the numbers, and you got the numbers wrong. To me, it's the same thing when I see, like, Janet Yellen, who said inflation is transitory, and then it wasn't. Or when I see Paul Krugman, who continues to always have the worst predictions going, and yet they get more jobs, and they almost... they get promoted higher and higher. They become these oracles, despite the fact that they're never right about anything. It's like, if that's your job, it's okay. If I make a bad prediction, Taylor, I'm a talk show host. I probably made a million of them. But if my job was, hey, give us the jobs numbers, and my jobs numbers were off by 100,000, I would expect to be fired. I'd be sitting around, if I didn't get fired, I'd be like, damn, I can't believe they still have me here.
That's big. 100,000, that's...
yeah.
It's a big miss.
We're talking a really big miss. And it wasn't just during the Trump administration. So Biden's probably happy about this as well.
89% say yes, he made the right move.
Can I have a little bit of Kathy Hochul? She's addressing the Texas Democrats fleeing because of gerrymandering. They're fleeing to Illinois, which is, as so many people have pointed out, peak irony. But this is the governor of New York weighing in.
I assure you that the people of the great state of New York will be there with you on the front lines of this war to save all that is great about our country, including its democracy, which has endured for 250 years.
This war? Now the Texas Democrats blocking Abbott from having a quorum, is that reaches the level of war? Aren't these the same people who are always telling us to cool the rhetoric down? And she's like, we're going to be on the front lines with you. And you know what always amazes me about this is, and I talked about this with Gavin Newsom, I think, on Friday. It's like the priorities of these politicians that are running states into the ground. The priorities always amaze me. Gavin Newsom's like, we're going to sue Trump for this. We're going to create a snitch line for people using styrofoam. Kathy Hochul's like, we have the Texas Democrats back, so that they don't have to, you know, be in special session to vote on this redistricting. There's nothing else you think the people in New York are concerned with right now? You don't think there's anything else, any other wars going on in your state that you could concern yourself with. This is your number one priority? It's ridiculous. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk to Ari Hoffman about some major, major stories. And also, I'll give you an update on Gayle King. She could be the next CBS star to get the boot. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Hamas has been circulating just absolutely horrific, chilling videos of Israeli hostages who are now being forced to dig their own graves. There's starvation going on. You can look at the example of Eviatan David, who is frail and looks like he is on the verge of death. And it's just, it's hard to imagine that this is going on and that it's not getting anywhere near the coverage that it should be getting. And in fact, Hamas is the one that they're creating these videos so that media outlets will publish it and will let people know that this is what they want. And still our media here seems hell-bent on doing the exact opposite. Someone who's going to break this down for us is a good friend of the show, Ari Hoffman from the Post Millennial. Ari, tell us about these photos that we're seeing, these videos that are now circulating, the response out of Israel, how people are protesting in Tel Aviv, and then we can kind of get into the lack of outrage from our media here in the U.S.
Sure, it's horrific scenes. I mean, you're literally seeing the stuff we saw from the Holocaust. You're seeing this person who looks bony and frail, who's been a hostage for close to 2 years now in the tunnels of Gaza. And you see the captor is actually stretching out a beefy arm with a little bit of food to them in the video. That's taunting. This is the same kind of stuff we saw in Nazi Germany, making them dig their own graves. And yet, I didn't see that on the cover of the New York Times. I didn't see the New York Times sending that out to the wire services. Instead, what they do is they find some child in Gaza who's got some genetic disorders, put that on the cover, send it out. You know, Mark Twain said, I think I'm paraphrasing here, he said that a lie gets all the way around the world before the truth has a chance to put its pants on in the morning. And unfortunately, that's what we saw in real time last week. You had the New York Times push this false story about this kid who's allegedly starving in Gaza. And then you look at the picture and you go, wait a second, his mother's with him. How come she's not starving? You see the brother in the picture. How come the brother's not starving? How come it's just this kid? And Grace, any good parent is going to give their kid, if there is a starving situation, going to give their kid food before them. So mom should look worse than the kid. But we find out this kid had a genetic disorder, and the whole world all of a sudden says, oh, Israel's starving everybody, completely ignoring the amount of aid that's out there, completely ignoring the UN's own reports that say that over 90% of this aid is being hijacked by Hamas, and that's why it's not getting to anybody, completely ignoring the fact that Hamas is selling this stuff. And one of the reasons they're having financial problems is because they're not getting the stuff to sell anymore. They're ignoring all the actual facts in favor of believing the narrative of a terrorist organization. And you got to ask yourself, what's in it for the media to be trusting a terrorist organization over one of our allies? A terrorist organization that held Americans for hundreds of days, that killed over 44 Americans on October 7th. Why does the media want to believe them so badly? Anytime Hamas gives a casualty number, which we know are completely incorrect, they believe it right away. But the second Israel says anything, oh, we need to verify. And you know what? You should be verifying it, but they're never verifying it from the terrorist organization.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the verification process, because the story that you were just referencing in the New York Times, that photo that went around the world and drew such outrage, it turns out that the New York Times staffers did know more about this than they let on, and they kind of waited until putting out the truth or correcting it. What do we know about the process that went on before publishing this photo?
Well, basically, there was an expose that came out today, I think it was in Semaphore and a couple of other outlets, that were revealing that not just did they know what was going on, but they were saying, okay, we know this kid has genetic disorders, we know this kid has problems, oh wait, now we need to go back in and verify all that, but how much can we push our false narrative? That's what I took from the article. It was, okay, we were proven wrong, but how can we prove ourselves right? Which is what was going on in the newsroom. Some people may read that as, oh, we need to correct our mistake. No. It seemed to me that what they were saying from that story was we were proven wrong, we were caught, we were busted. How do we make it so that people don't think we're actually wrong and maintain our credibility? The Seattle Times is one of the worst offenders with this. The Seattle Times saw that correction. And I know they had lots of people cancel their subscription because they pulled that New York Times picture and story off the wire service and they printed it on the front page. And a lot of people called them out over it. They wrote an op-ed on Friday saying it doesn't matter if the picture's real or not. We know the truth. We know there's starvation. And this needs to stop right now. How can you call yourselves journalists when you continue to push a false narrative, when you continue to push a lie? And the fact that the New York Times knew this was incorrect, and they didn't really print a retraction or a correction. They're like, well, we were sort of wrong about this one kid, but still happening everywhere else. And this kid may have some genetic disorders, but he's also malnourished. The fact that they're trying to push this false story, as opposed to finding out what's actually going on there, let's not forget the New York Times was accused of having reporters embedded with Hamas on October 7th. So this is nothing new for them.
And Ari, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this story that came out last week, or maybe it was at the end of the week prior, but the fact that the UK, Canada, and France are now saying they're going to recognize a Palestinian state come September, the timing of all this is interesting. So they come out and they say this, so you have Carney, you have Macron, you have all of these leaders saying, if we, Starmer obviously, saying if we... If Israel doesn't essentially capitulate, then we're going to recognize a Palestinian state. At the same time, you have these countries in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, saying, hey, Hamas has to get out of there, and really putting pressure on the terrorist group, which you would think would be kind of the norm here, but it's not. And then just a week later, we have these videos circulating of these Israeli hostages. Give us your breakdown of how this is all interconnected and what Hamas is gathering from these moves by the UK, Canada, and France. Are they looking at this as, oh, now we have leverage or now we have momentum? Is that why they're putting these videos out? And also, if you could, Ari, because I know you have a lot of connections in Israel, what as far as people there go, I know it's not going to be a universal feeling, but how do people feel about this war and what are they hoping Bibi Netanyahu does next?
Well, Macron is used to getting smacked around, so it's no surprise he's capitulating to a terrorist organization. But let's break this down simply and succinctly. So what happens is Hamas is fighting two wars. They know they can't beat Israel on the battlefield, so they're fighting an information war. And they know that the media will print whatever they give them without verifying it. So this is their last-ditch attempt. The reason they don't want to give back the hostages is they have nothing to offer after that. There are 50 hostages remaining out of the original 251. We think that around 21 of them are alive. Once they're returned, once the bodies are given back, they have no leverage whatsoever. And because they've been so decimated and because they don't have Iran backing them anymore and because Hezbollah is gone and defeated and because the Houthis are on the run and because Syria has fallen, they have no allies. The only thing they have left is the information war. And they know that the American media will eat it up and push it out. And they know that the BBC and the European media will eat it up and push it out. Plus, they know you have a whole bunch of liberals like Macron, like Starmer, like Carney, who are going to say, oh, we need to alleviate the poor suffering. The UK released their plan for peace in the Middle East and a Palestinian state. And what that is basically like rewarding the Taliban with a state after 9/11, because October 7th was Israel's 9/11. So you're going to say, here you go, have a state. I mean, Joe Biden kind of did that. But that's not what you do after a terrorist attack, or you're only emboldening them, like how Joe Biden and Biden emboldened Russia to invade Ukraine by giving up on Afghanistan. But what they're saying in this proposal that has come out from the UK is we want Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders, which means before the Six-Day War, when all the countries surrounding Israel attacked it. So that means they want Israel to give back the Western Wall. That means they want Israel to turn over Jerusalem. That means they want Israel to leave Gaza. That means they want Israel to leave Judea and Samaria. That means they want Israel to go back in time and give it all and say, none of this is ours, and just give all the stuff that has been historically Jewish for thousands of years. And that's a no-go. It's not going to happen. And they're pushing this because they want a Palestinian state. Look, if France, the UK, and anybody else wants a Palestinian state, give it to them in your own borders. How come you guys aren't accepting Palestinian refugees? Because they don't want Hamas in their state. Look, the UK, you can already see the problems they're having with the amount of unchecked Muslim immigration, what's happening in their country. We're seeing these problems, these reports on the news all the time. If you guys want this stuff so bad, you can have it. Now, with regards to how things are going in Israel, You've had hundreds of Israeli soldiers that are dead. And a lot of people are starting to question, is this worth it anymore? Why don't we just use the Air Force and flatten Gaza? And unfortunately, the hostages, that's just it. But that's the tug of war you have in Israel right now. It's not whether or not Hamas needs to be defeated. It's not whether or not we get the hostages back. It's at what point do you lose so many soldiers that you say, can we still get the hostages back? Are they still going to be alive? And how much longer does this go on for? They all want Hamas gone. They all want the hostages returned. But right now, with the casualties that Israel has taken, it's still amazing that Israel has taken those casualties because they didn't carpet bomb the place after October 7th. If they had wanted to commit a genocide and destroy all of Gaza, they could have done it on October 8th. But that's the interior fight that you're having in Israel itself right now, is how much longer does this go on for, and when do we say, should we give up the hostages?
Ari Hoffman, we thank you so much for joining us today. Everyone should be following Ari at The Hoff Father. Read his work at The Post Millennial. Listen to him. You can find all of his links on his X account. And we thank you so much. We hope to have you on again soon. I think we just covered a lot of ground there, which I'm very happy about, because this is a huge story, and the deception and the American media's willingness to go along with these lies and this propaganda from a terrorist organization, it never ceases to amaze. And not a lot amazes me these days, but that one is still up there. Gail King's future at CBS. This is sad news for Taylor. I know he's a big fan of the Space Force ladies. That really changed. That really rocked your world, Taylor, when you saw those ladies go to space.
With Katy Perry?
Yeah.
And Gail King?
When you saw those women, this is for the Rumble viewers, go to space. I'm using air quotes. Maybe I'm part of the conspiracy that they never went. Oh my goddess, did you guys actually go to space? I don't know. But Gail King was one of those astronauts. That's what they call themselves, astronauts. Astronauts is how I say it. And
astronauts.
Astronauts. And she is also getting paid a huge chunk of change. I actually was shocked to read this. She signed an extension for between $13 and $15 million that runs through next May, according to a well-placed source. And she was one of the anchors, so she's on the CBS Morning Show. Their ratings are plummeting. They lost between 20 and 30% of their audience versus last year in the 25 to 54 demo, which is the most coveted amongst advertisers. They're just cratering in the ratings. But remember when they were just recently talking about Stephen Colbert getting fired, and she was like, I feel for Stephen. You know, it's hard when, you know.
Was there more meaning to that than we knew?
I think she's seeing the writing on the wall. I think she's understanding. Again, it's like, you could pay me $1 million and I don't know how much worse I would do. $15 million for losing 30% of the ratings? That's a pretty good deal, if you ask me. And so it makes sense that she's looking at Stephen Colbert and she's saying, this isn't right. You know, this is really, he's in a tough spot. You know, he loves his job, but he wants to voice his opinion. And this reads like something out of Woke or Joke, Taylor. It says, a key problem is that the CEO of CBS parent Paramount, who is in line to run the network, has for years promoted a DEI mandate. One insider pointed to a March 26 interview with RuPaul's Drag Race winner Bob the Drag Queen, who was publicizing his first novel, Harriet Tubman, live in concert. The CBS Morning's website described the book as...
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Bob the Drag Queen.
Bring out Nancy Mace in her PJs, getting Red Bull at the Wawa. It says the CBS Morning's website described the book as a gender-bending story where the historic icon appears in modern-day America to tell her story through a hip-hop album.
What book is this? What does this have to do with Gail King?
Harriet Tubman, live in concert.
Is she
starring? Interviewed. No, she interviewed the drag queen who wrote this story.
All right.
But the New York Post is citing it as saying, like, this is part of the woke agenda that hasn't really been contributing to the ratings. You could argue that. You could say this is some of the programming, some of the content that's not helping you guys excel in the ratings. I'm not
so
sure.
To me, it's such a reminder about how we need to do better, be better. Do better, be better, human beings.
She was really mad when people started making fun of her for the space thing. Like, Katy Perry kind of took it. She took the criticism and she took the ridicule. And she knew she was giving us joy. Like, we were all enjoying being on the same page about something. What was the recent thing we were all on the same page about, Taylor? Where everybody was joking about the same thing. There was like a big story How am I forgetting this? There was a big story.
Sydney Sweeney?
Oh, no, 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 no. The Astronomer, the Coldplay people.
Oh. Yes.
I would put those under the same umbrella. It's like the internet, it's all kind of in good fun to a degree. I know marriages were ruined, but like, I'm just saying the internet is kind of, they're in on something. They're all laughing at the same thing. They're all dunking on the same people, the same bad guys, the same good guys. They're supporting the same whatever. That was the Gayle King, Katy Perry
it's
thing.
About us. It's about making space for future women and taking up space and belonging.
But Katy Perry, just she was kind of the face of that joke. And Gayle King did not, she would not even lean into it. She was like, she was more team, I am an astronaut. How dare you question my credentials? What is the most common question that J.J. Manning auctioneers get asked? The question is, why would someone ever auction their real estate? Why don't they just list it for sale? Well, the answer is that when you sign on with J.J. Manning auctioneers, you are listing your property for sale. You're listing your property for an auction sale. And they have some upcoming auctions for Grace listeners or from Grace listeners. August 20th, a home in Lincoln, Mass on almost 3 acres. August 22nd, a two-family with an in-law apartment in Somerville. September 17th, a home in the Oak Bluff section of the Vineyard. In a J.J. Manning auction, you bypass the exhausting negotiations. You bypass the weasel clauses. You sell your property as is and contingency free. This means no contingencies for inspections. And this is really huge because in Massachusetts, I'm not sure if people know this yet, this is a great state of Massachusetts. There's always new rules being put on the books. All traditional listings will soon be required to have a home inspection before closing. So there's so much to love about selling your property through auction. If you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gayle at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by ReadyWise. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets. It's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. We are thrilled to be joined by Aaron Chadbourne, who's taken over for Howie this week. Aaron, what do you have planned for the show today? What story is sticking out to you?
Well, we're, of course, going to be following what's going on with these Democrats in Texas who have fled the state, seeking refuge from Governor Pritzker and Kathy Hochul. And thank goodness they're there to fight the war. But Grace, in your last segment, I heard you talk about Katy Perry being willing to be the face of the joke. And you were talking about Space Force. I figured you were talking about her dating Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, I haven't actually addressed that on the show yet, mostly because,
Aaron, give the people what they want, Grace.
I don't think it's legit. I can smell this like PR campaign coming from a mile away. They're both just attention seeking, and I don't want to add fuel to that fire. I don't want to partake in what's so clearly fake. This to me screams fake. You know how people thought, like, oh, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? I just can't believe that Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau, although, you know, they wouldn't be... they wouldn't be the worst couple. She says, oh my goddess. And he says, what does he say? Humankind, Taylor? He doesn't want
to
leave out.
To counter the she session and turn it into a she-covery.
Yeah, so they both like this kind of wordplay. So maybe that's what drew them together. What do I know?
He does kind of give Orlando Bloom and the Lord of the Rings energy.
Yeah, that's another fun fact about me. I was never a real Orlando Bloom fan. I don't think I've seen anything that he's in.
You didn't see Pirates of the Caribbean, Grace?
No.
It was a good movie. You should watch it.
And no, I just, those kind of movies for me, they're just skip.
Maybe
skip.
When your kids are old enough. But I think, so this whole episode in Texas, like, haven't we seen this show before? Like, it doesn't end well.
Yeah, and I also, I just don't understand what the goal is. Like, obviously, it's to go viral to get attention, but to go
Grace,
to Illinois.
We're saving democracy. We're saving democracy by fleeing the state?
Yeah,
like,
by running away. But that's the weirdest part, Aaron, is that when they're accusing, this is a classic case of projection, they're like, Republicans are running scared. You're literally running out of the state.
Yeah. I mean, but I just think J.B. Pritzker isn't who I would go hang out with. Like, things have to be pretty bad and pretty sad if, like, your preferred thing to do instead is go hang out with J.B. Pritzker.
And you wait. There's
I bet he has
be,
good snacks, though.
There's going to be a New York Post article about all of the, you know, the fun, expensive junkets these Democrats are going to be doing with their week-long vacation from Texas.